Have you ever felt lost in the crowd at a conference, wondering how to be less of a wallflower and more, wow, they know their stuff? Join me in the latest episode of Experts Speak English as we unlock the secrets to maximizing your conference experience, from strategic networking to mastering the communication you need to make the conference a worthwhile investment of your time. Let's ensure that your next business event is a game changer, both for you as an individual, but also for your career. I'll share some quirky, coquetastic tips on getting the very best out of every moment. Don't just attend, show up as the English speaking expert.
Welcome to the Experts Speak English podcast. Together, we'll discover how to talk yourself into an international career without the bullshit. And at the end of each episode, I give you an opportunity to try out what you have just learned on the show, because I give you Coco's Communication Challenge. And that gives you an opportunity to get out there and try out one of the tools, techniques, or tips that you will have heard on the show. I'm Corinne Wilhelm. I'm a corporate communication coach with over 20 years of experience of helping leaders to secure the career that they deserve through intentional communication, intercultural awareness, and the confidence to show up as the English-speaking expert. So let's get cracking, shall we?
Getting the most out of an international conference. Taking time out of an already busy schedule to go to an international conference is a good idea in terms of becoming and being recognised as the English-speaking expert. If you surround yourself with other experts, you will learn more, experience more, and most importantly, will feel like and be seen as an expert yourself. To get maximum impact out of a conference, though, requires planning and communication. Having both organised and attended many conferences as an organiser, keynote speaker and participant, I learned this the hard way. So let's make sure that your next conference is well worth your time and energy attending, shall we? Before we start, I would like to say a few words to the non-native speakers listening. If English is not your first language, don't panic. There will be people at the conference with much better English than you, and there will be others that you find difficult to understand. This might be due to their charming but difficult to understand accent or gruesome grammar or the way that they are saying the words, so pronunciation. Instead of freaking out though about not being able to make yourself understood, instead I'd like to encourage you to convert that nervous energy into constructive steps to improve your English between now and the conference, because panicking won't change anything. So the best way to do that is exactly what you're doing now. You need to listen to lots of podcasts just like this one. The more you hear about your industry and function or job in English, then the more that language will become kind of a part of how you communicate. So when you first started in this job, you probably also didn't understand everything, you know, all those new terms and acronyms. But with time, exposure and practice, it got easier, right? It's the same with being able to communicate in business in English. Exposure and practice. So you don't need to understand every word to get the gist of the conversational message. And as you get used to people talking in a fast and passionate way, often speaking on top of each other, you will find it easier to understand them. So please cut yourself a bit of slack and use the conference as a source of motivation to get more exposure and practice in the English language or business English, and you'll be fine. Why not go to a few English language events beforehand, local meetup events, things like that, just to get you thinking in English. So as Misty Copeland once said, be strong, be fearless, be beautiful, and believe that anything is possible when you have the right people there to support you. In this episode, I'll talk about the planning and communication before, during, and after the conference. So let's dive in with before the conference. First of all, you need to set your expectations. I have two questions for you. What will make this conference worth your while? And what can you do to make that happen? By following the event hashtag in the lead up to the conference, you'll be alerted before, during and after the conference about what's going on, perhaps in another session or after the event, maybe before people show up. So that way you can identify who might be potentially interesting for you to meet. Give a shout out about travelling to the event on LinkedIn. And if there is a Slack channel, WhatsApp group or similar, make sure that you know about it early. That means checking the emails and being proactive about your conference visit. So let's think about the research and planning. Before you go, you need to look at what's going on nearby. If you're a member of an international club like Toastmasters, Rotary or BNI, then you might want to add on a few days so that you can attend their meetings. Again, another opportunity to network. Likewise, if you have clients or other stakeholders nearby, why not reach out to them or even the speakers or other attendees before the conference to meet up? Consider taking a day or two off afterwards so that you can do some sightseeing. It gives you a decent opportunity to reflect and mull over what you have learned and experienced before the dash back home. For me, this is probably one of the most enjoyable ways to get some me time, which as an introvert I desperately need after a people-packed conference. So when you're planning your trip, you might want to add a time buffer for before and after the event. Now, if you have a family, make sure your partner can be relied upon to not just hold the fort temporarily, but to really step up as a parent. Both of you need to be respectful of each other's careers. If you value your career, your family, and your relationship, that requires an open and honest conversation about this. By having this clarity before you go away, you can really focus on the conference, knowing your kids are fed real food and having a lovely time at home with your partner. But getting your partner on board is very important. Now, when I was a little girl, my dad would travel from time to time, but when he did, I got to spend special time with my mum. We did things that my dad wasn't really interested in, and my mum, who normally got stressed out about all kinds of things somehow, managed to make these times really special. Not by spending a lot of money, we didn't have any of that, but by doing nice things together, like having midnight feasts or having friends over for dinner or teddy bear picnics in the garden. And we couldn't really afford for him to bring us something when he went away, but what my mum did was quite sneaky. She would buy something she knew I would like and she would pack it up in advance. I know, because I found her secret hiding place in the hall once. Anyway, slightly off topic, let's get back to the conference planning, shall we? When you are looking at the conference agenda, look at the description of every session very carefully. Is the speaker actually an author trying to sell his book? Or do you get the impression that they will be talking at you with boring slides? Or will it be more interactive? Check out the speakers in advance. Experienced speakers have videos of themselves speaking on YouTube, their own website, or on social media. It might feel time-consuming to check them out, and I get it, you're busy, but it's better than sitting in a session that is boring you to death, isn't it? Personally, I don't tolerate bad speakers. If it's unbearable, I get up and leave discreetly. But doing your research beforehand is by far the better option. Schedule in breaks. We can only take in so much, and as tempting as it is to go to every session, it's important to make sure that you create some opportunities for breaks above and beyond a bio break. Let's face it, you'll probably even end up chatting there, especially the women, as there's always a queue, isn't there? So giving yourself the permission and opportunity to rest and recharge during the conference will mean that you can concentrate more and will have enough energy at the end of the conference for those all-important conversations with other English-speaking experts just like you. Networking is often the cushioning around the learning, and to get the most out of the conference, you'll need both learning and networking. So the packing list. So what will you need to bring to the conference? For me, I still love business cards. You might also want to take some brochures or flyers if you have them, or some branded pens for those "do you happen to have another pen" moment. But also practical things like chargers and a conversion plug if you're travelling overseas. If you have a business credit card, make sure you know the number. Most people don't use it very often. And it doesn't harm to have some cash in the local currency. In my corporate days, I was on business trips most weeks, and once I got caught out without something formal. So when we were invited spontaneously to a very smart dinner, I had to do a mad dash to find something in a completely new place with unfamiliar brands and completely new shops. Even though I love shopping normally, in the 90 minutes I had to find something to wear, get back to the hotel and get ready, this was super stressful. So now I always pack a formal red dress that packs small and doesn't seem to need ironing, hallelujah, and a bolero jacket with some little ballerinas. That way I'm ready for anything. Another thing that I do, which is a bit coquetastic perhaps, has to do with my hatred of hotels. To make it a bit more homely, I put up pretty fairy lights in the bathroom. I leave them on when I go out so that I don't have to come back to a completely dark room while I fiddle with that stupid card in a dark room when I get back at night. Maybe I'm a bit more of a scaredy cat than you are, but fairy lights do it for me and they don't take up much space. Don't forget the batteries. During the conference, speak to the presenters. The presenters usually welcome it when people ask questions, as it gives them an opportunity to interact more with their audience and maybe cover something that they simply didn't have time to include. So indulge them with a thought-provoking question, not to catch them out, but to give them an opportunity to provide context, examples, or exceptions, for example. Participate in discussions. If you are there on your own, then be brave enough to join other people for a discussion around the topic that was just discussed, or perhaps something else that is affecting them in their industry, for example. Broader perspectives like this enable you to be more creative and innovative back in the office. Networking strategies. When I was working at PricewaterhouseCoopers, we used to help the rather socially awkward but brilliant forensic accountants to prepare for our own conferences with a working the room workshop. This gave them the opportunity to learn how to initiate small talk in a way that felt welcoming and genuine. It gave them an opportunity to practice it. That's the important thing. Not all of the partners and senior managers were native speakers, so this would give them the opportunity to practice things like introducing people, offering someone a drink, changing the topic, or politely getting out of the conversation. This hands-on workshop, and I have one of these too actually, gave them the confidence to work the room with intention and less inhibitions, even though many of them were smart introverts. Mini communication skills like approaching new people, asking open-ended questions, and following up after the conference might seem obvious in theory, but in practice they can all be quite intimidating. So practicing them in a safe space replaces any apprehension with calm and curiosity. At the conference, you'll need to be taking notes. Now, it might feel a bit old school to take notes on key insights, action items, and contacts during the conference. But the bottom line is there are usually too many things to remember, and it's nice to capture some useful statistics, quotes, and nuggets of knowledge for future conversations at work, especially when you're selling an idea or giving industry insights. Feel free to make photos if it is allowed, and I prefer actually writing than typing, and somehow it feels more respectful towards the presenters or speakers. So, during the conference, selecting the sessions. If, like me, you promise yourself to be organised and that you'll know exactly where you want to be on the day, but you never actually got round to it, then at the very latest, in the hotel room on that first night before the first day of the conference, makes a good time to get your plan together. Knowing how to prioritise can be tricky, I get it, so think about your company and personal goals. Write them down and select sessions that align closely with those objectives and professional interests. Think not only about what you need to know now and who you want to get to know, but also about the future. Networking strategies. If you find it awkward initiating conversations, then the top three tactics that work well for me are compliments, questions, and observations. So you might compliment someone on a shirt, a bag, or a scarf. Of course, it would be nicer to give them a compliment based on their performance, but of course, you don't know a stranger well enough to do that. So a compliment is a nice, easy opener. Asking a question is an easy one to get into the conversation. It can be anything as simple as, did you hear which room the da-da-da was? Or, oh, I see you work for da-da-da, where are you based? And then there are observations like, gosh, that was quite a long session, wasn't it? Or even a mix like, I loved her presenting style, have you heard her speak before? You see, it doesn't need to be tricky. Remember names by casually dropping them into the conversation. I need to do this about 3 times before it sticks. Sometimes there isn't enough time to exchange contact information at a conference. It's kind of between sessions, isn't it? So if you meet someone interesting and approachable, jot their name down. Those of you that have met me will know that I am an avid notes taker. I deliberately choose a jacket for conferences which is big enough for my phone in one side and a small notepad and pen, maybe a lipstick, in the other. For women, it can be tricky to find a smart jacket that has big enough pockets and still looks smart. So don't leave this until the week before the conference if I were you. Remember, the main goal here is building meaningful connections with other attendees. Be yourself. Be interested in other people and it will all fall into place. If you're listening to this and think, yeah, Corinne, it's easy for you to say, then let's jump on a virtual tea break and see if I can help, either through coaching or one of the Working the Room workshops, maybe something completely different. Next comes engagement and participation. It's easy to take your seat and get ready to be entertained and informed, but the more you engage in sessions by asking questions and contributing to the discussions, the more you will get out of the conference. Identify where you are on the say nothing, say everything spectrum and start speaking up more or less to get to that golden midpoint. Make yourself easy to talk to by smiling and inviting people into the conversation. If you see someone looking and feeling like a Billy No Mates, then invite them to join you. People really appreciate that. So after the conference, it's time to follow up. Now, a lot of people feel incredibly self-conscious about following up after the conference, like, what am I going to say? But I find that if I can do this as soon as I can, then the vibe of that conversation and conference tends to make it a lot easier. Selfies are a great way to do this and a nice way to get their name and contact details too. So follow up with new contacts with an article that they might appreciate or a thought that you had after the conference. Let them know that they are on your radar. Keep it simple and sincere. The more personal you can be, the more they will want to keep in touch, follow you on LinkedIn, etc. Now, those of you in direct cultures will cringe at this next idea, but it isn't weird and it isn't something that you just have to do to thank friends after Christmas presents or wedding gifts, but thank you notes to speakers make a big difference. And actually, not many people do it, so it makes you stand out, particularly if you send them by post or snail mail. Likewise, did you meet any potential collaborators? If so, then keep in touch as soon as you can and keep that dialogue open until you are ready to run an idea past them. Think about what's in it for them and be open and honest about why collaborating with them would be not just effective on a corporate level, but also enjoyable on a personal one. Remember, it's how you make people feel that counts. Reflect and implement. Remember to reflect on the conference experience. What did you learn? Who did you meet? Perhaps you can create a short, dynamic LinkedIn post or email to your team with the key takeaways and develop a plan for implementing new ideas or strategies before you get distracted. Would you go back? If yes, would you do anything differently? If you didn't learn much and sat there feeling slightly frustrated and bored, then I have great news for you. It's time to transition from participant to speaker. More about that in my next episode. Feedback. I know that at the end of the conference, you can feel drained and suffering from information overload, but I really encourage you to provide feedback to the conference organisers. That's the only way that you can expect them to improve future events. If you would have preferred more breaks, tell them. If you would have liked a more dynamic opening speech, say so. If there was a speaker that was as dull as watching paint dry, they'll want to know. Finally, you need to stay engaged. Once the conference is over, people will hopefully be using the hashtag to share photos, insights, call out to new contacts, etc. So take advantage of this community building vibe through social media, online forums, and possibly follow-up events. So I hope this helps you plan for your next international conference. And I'd love to know which conference you're going to go to. So do get in touch. Let me know on LinkedIn. I will be posting about this podcast. Feel free to tell me in the comments. And you know what? Going to a conference is one of the best motivations you can have for improving your business English and for taking your career up a notch. Because I don't know about you, I always come back from a conference fired up with ideas and ready to go. So if you're feeling in a flunk within your career, then going to a conference is a game changer. So Coco's communication challenge for this episode of Expert Speak English is to set the timer for 45 minutes and do some research on conferences that you would like to go to in the next 12 to 18 months. Get the dates in your diary, get clearance to go, and get your ticket and travel sorted for at least 3 conferences. If your employer is not prepared to pay for them, pay for yourself and see it as an investment in yourself. These are all tax deductible expenses. So tell me in the LinkedIn post about this podcast episode where you plan on going and if you will be there as a participant or a presenter. And include the hashtag if there is one. Next week, I will be sharing how to prepare for a conference as a speaker. So I look forward to speaking to you then. In the meantime, be the very best communicator that you can be. You've been listening to Corinne Wilhelm on the Experts Speak English podcast, brought to you by English Speaking Experts. Take care now.